Oh yes, a very good morning. It's just a quarter past 9 a.m. Good morning. You're listening to Your Rights program, the program that comes your way every Friday here on Radio Mirai. And today we're looking at the right to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan. Well, my participants are Ter Manyanga Twitch, Executive Director, Center for Peace and Advocacy. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Irene. Thank you for having me.
Right. And Ter Manyang is joined in by Jole Freza Gale, Program Coordinator, Organization Assistance Mission for Africa. Good morning, Jole. Thank you so much for coming.
Good morning and greetings to all listeners of Mirai FM. We are happy to also be with you this hour.
Right, and I'll start with you, Ter Manyang. It's not your first time to be on Radio Mirai, but just introduce yourself and tell us what you do in your organization.
Thank you so much. My name is Ter Manyang. I work with Center for Peace and Advocacy as Executive Director and also as the Chair of Civil Society Coalition on Defense of Civic Space. Center for Peace and Advocacy, we are doing transitional justice, we are doing peace building, we are doing advocacy, we are doing freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan, and also and we're doing the right of women, especially Maputo Protocol. Thank you.
Okay. And there are some developments in the Maputo Protocol.
I'm aware of this.
Yes, yeah. This week. Maybe we'll get time and talk about it extensively, but today let's just focus on the rights to freedom of expression.
Thank you.
And assembly in South Sudan. Yes, Freza.
Yeah, like I said, my name is Jole Freza. I work with Assistance Mission for Africa as a programs coordinator. Assistance Mission for Africa basically operates in most parts of South Sudan, but specifically we have a lot of programs that are running in Lake States and Unity, you know. So the things that we do there are basically protection programs and peace building. We also do livelihood and food security also in the same locations. We are part of the transitional justice working group, mm-hmm. and we implement programs that are related to that. Yeah, so these are some basic areas that AMA operates in with a lot of regards to gender equality, because it's basically a women-led and a youth-led organization at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Now, let's kickstart by defining what is the right to freedom of expression and assembly. I'll start with you, Jole Freza.
Well, the right to freedom of expression and assembly. Basically, freedom of expression, it means having the right to seek, receive, and impart, you know, information and ideas of your choice without interference and regardless of any frontiers. So, when we talk of freedom of assembly, it means that everyone has the right to peaceful association and gathering, right to hold meetings and even peaceful, you know, protests, whether it is on or offline. And in the context of South Sudan, these freedoms are well articulated, especially in the transitional constitution of South Sudan 2011. When we look at Article 24 of the transitional constitution, it clearly states that every citizen shall have the right to the freedom of expression, reception, and the dissemination of information, publication, and access to press without prejudice to public order, safety, and you know, morals as prescribed by the law. So this is something that nationally it is well prescribed in the law, and then also even internationally it is well prescribed in the Declaration of Human Rights of 1945. So when we look at freedom of association, the constitution also says in the Article 25 of that same transitional constitution, it says that the right to peaceful assembly is recognized and guaranteed. That means every person has the right to form or join an association, including political party or professional unions, to protect his own interests.
Right, Fraser, did you just read all that in our document, South Sudanese Constitution?
Yes.
Because when you ask me, this is not happening. So what do you think is not right?
It's because, when we come to the context of South Sudan, usually we have a very beautiful law, by the way, that is existing. But when it comes to the practical bit of it, the government is really trying its best to ensure that some of these things are really implemented. But because of the so many pressing issues that the countries, that's the young countries, transiting from, so many conflicts and so many issues, it becomes very difficult to monitor and to guarantee some of these things that
because priorities placed somewhere else.
Priorities taken. Exactly.
Jole, I'll come back to you. Yes, Dermanyang, I mean, you just had Fraser articulating all those things in existence, but just the other day, I think last year, what happened in Konyo-Konyo, people were saying that was the shortest riot that they have that has ever been in history. 3 minutes. And then those people were arrested. And why are such things happening? Like, it is on paper that we have freedom to of expression, we have freedom of assembly. If we are disgruntled, we need to go to the street and we need to be heard. But what is on ground that is felt is quite different. What is your take on that?
Yeah, thank you for having me. South Sudan as a country has a beautiful constitution. You know, if we look at our constitution, if you look at the Bill of Rights, Article 9, Subsection 3, in the same transitional constitution, give the person the dignity and equal rights of men and women. Somebody may ask why we have those rights in the constitution and we don't implement them. Sometimes our people think that if this constitution is not going to be implemented, maybe other people were coming from outside. And I'll give you a citation of 2013. Mm. 2013 crisis was just a misunderstanding. You know, if our people could express themselves last time, believe me or not, our country would not be where we are now. It's because the restriction, when you restricted the citizens, when they feel to express the opinion on national issues that concerning them, the country will not move well. And now what happened, the issue of the issue of prices in the market, people are not talking, people are just keep quiet. If the citizen can iron out all the opinion, the government or maybe other organizations that will come with the durable solution. However, there are some people, there are some individuals I will not mention. Some individuals think that when you talk about the human rights, they think that maybe this is a term from the West. But we, in our context, in our local context, we the South Sudanese, we have the human right before the Universal of Declaration of Human Rights. We have our norms, and also that is governing us as a country.
Okay, well, thank you so much. In case you just joined us, this is Your Rights program here, and we are speaking about the right to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan. Fraser, what obstacles currently exist in South Sudan that negatively impact the right to freedom of expression and assembly?
I said in the beginning that South Sudan is just transiting from so many issues. There are so many things that happening. Mm. So when we look at South Sudan economically, politically, in terms of infrastructures, you just see that challenges are so many. Because when we look at freedom of expression and assembly, there are some factors that are inherent that they need to be in place in order for these rights to be guaranteed. Mm. For example, when it comes to infrastructures, in order for someone to be able to express themselves, they need to have the channels. Right. They need to have the communication channels. But look at South Sudan. There are some places that don't even have the mobile network.
Yeah.
So it becomes very hard for someone who would really want to also express their opinions and ideas at the national level to be able to communicate them when they do not have that channel. And then socially, we have a problem. South Sudan have apparently adopted a very bad, attitude or culture of, tribalism that has promoted hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
It has promoted hate speech. So hate speech has become one of the really things that affects us a lot. And the hate speech is not driven religiously. It's mostly driven ethnically, because someone always identify themselves to belong to
a certain group.
And then also in terms of national security, the country has just transited from war, and there are a lot of things that we would consider them to be rights, and to the government they see in order for this relative peace to be maintained, some of these things, there are some assemblies that need to be avoided, there are some expressions that need to be avoided, so it becomes a challenge. And that's why we hear a lot of arrests, we hear a lot of, a lot of things that are happening. The security forces are always conflicting with those that are trying to advocate for some of these rights. So I feel like in as much as the government is trying to, protect the relative security that we are currently enjoying, we need to work together, collectively with the government to ensure that also some of these basic rights cannot be left pending,
right?
Because they are day-to-day rights that need to be upheld at any cost.
All right. Thank you so much, Fraser. Yes, coming to you, Ter. When you introduced yourself, you mentioned you have programs with regards to freedom of expression. What exactly do you do in that docket?
What we are doing as a Center for Peace and Advocacy, we are doing advocacy. And in advocacy, we are looking at the specific issues, this including the freedom of expression and the press. We issue a statement, on the matters that concerning the country, and also we do lobbying. For instance, in 2022, when I and other eight journalists were arrested in the parliament, and then we went ahead, to make sure that, to meet with the relevant authorities, for this thing not to happen again. This is a part of our advocacy. Again, during the sixth governance forum, when I and other colleagues were intimidated in the Freedom Hall because of the issue of army embargo, and we went ahead also, to meet the relevant authorities, for the issue of restriction of civic space in the country. So these are the things we're doing, and also we issue a statement for recent what is happening in Lapanal, we shall issue a statement today, to inform the policymakers, and this is what is happening. And also we collaborate with other civil society organizations in the region, because this work in South Sudan, you cannot do the work alone. We're too big for us, or as an organization, we make and the collaboration with other civil society organizations. Civil society organization, if the government could listen to them, this country will be a beautiful country, because we generate a lot of ideas that can put our country in the right manner. Like what happened, I heard the acting minister of foreign affairs and international cooperation is calling back the diplomatic passport, the special passport, and we warned these people a long time ago. When you do anything, you need to have the proper right procedure to issue out. But now in South Sudan, if I'm a minister today, all my permanents become diplomat. Where on earth? These are the
and
issues.
And their occupation becomes son to the minister. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yes, yes. All right. Thank you so much, Ted. Now, on that point right there, to what extent do you believe freedom of expression and assembly could contribute to the protection and advancement of human rights in the country?
In South Sudan, when they hear the word human rights, some individuals think that this word comes from the West, and yet we have those human rights in Africa. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights, does not discriminate whether you are black or you are white. Okay, we all equal according to Article 7 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. We say all are equal before the law and are entitled without any discrimination to equal protection of the law. You know, our country, South Sudan, I think as individuals we need to rewrite this human rights in our local languages so that we understood, you know, and what is the meaning of human rights. You know, our leaders will not see that maybe this term is coming from the West or is coming from other people. And healthy society is a society that allows our citizens to express the opinion on the national matters, you know, in the country. If you restricted the citizens, you know, when the citizens pass, the country will not move well.
Yeah.
You know, we believe information is very powerful. Information, you know, I think Mariah is doing a lot of things, you know, in this country. And nobody can deny that. Citizens have access to information. But even look at our peace agreement here, it's provided for the radical reform. All the citizens, they should have access to all the ministries, you know, to ask why some of such ministries are not performing well.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Just 29 minutes to the top of the hour, and we're still continuing. Fraser, do you think there... okay, because there is a constitution that actually gives us the right to freedom of expression, the right to freedom of assembly. Do you think that it is because there's a huge gap of awareness that people do not know their rights so that they can claim them?
Well, yes. Maybe before getting there, there's something that I wanted to also comment on what my colleague has just said. You know, in South Sudan currently, we are in a very critical stage. And that stage is that we are preparing ourselves for the elections that are coming in 2024. And so, right now, we are having the constitution, the permanent constitution-making process. And, you know, when we look at revitalized peace agreement, it is clearly stated in Article 6 that, you know, that the process, the constitution-making, the permanent constitution-making process shall be led and owned by the people of South Sudan. And when we do not have freedom of expression and assembly, it becomes very hard for the people to be able to, you know, put in their ideas so that they are captured in the permanent constitution. So we are in a stage where these rights can never be delayed. They just have to be exercised like fully. Yes, I must say that lack of awareness indeed has contributed a lot, you know, for people not to express their rights when it comes to freedom of expression and assembly, and partly because of the same factors that I was talking about. When it comes to infrastructural, you know, development of South Sudan, it is very difficult. A lot of information, by the way, is moving on, but a lot of it is just consumed at the national level. And people at the state, because for us, a lot of our work, we do it at the state. And we have seen how people at the state are having beautiful ideas, are having beautiful experiences that they would want to share, but they cannot, you know, be able to access some of the avenues to, you know, also, you know, to put in their ideas so that they are captured in some of these very important processes like the constitution making. And so there's need for a lot of, you know, focus and funding that needs to be given for awareness to really be reached up to the grassroots level, up to the state, so that all these people are able also, you know, to have access to some of this vital information. Yeah.
Right. Before I go to Termanyang, he mentioned about his experience where he has been arrested together with journalists. And we've also seen other human rights defenders who have been arrested as well. They say that they are propagandists and they're spreading hate speech. What can the civil society do to lobby relevant authorities to resolve such kinds of situations? Before I come to Ter, Fraser, what do you think? What should be done?
Well, when we look at civil society in itself is not an end. Civil society in itself does not implement policies. The only thing that civil society normally does is lobby advocacy. And that is the major role that civil society really has to perform. And when it comes to, arrest of journalists, human rights defenders, and activists, which has been especially a common thing, especially in the past, when we look at the history of South Sudan, to me, the most important thing that we'll need to do, especially at the particular moment, is we need to, advocate for a dialogue. We need to really create a space for a dialogue between all these actors. We have the activists, we have the journalists, we have the human rights defenders. For them to be able to dialogue with the security forces and be able to come at least to a consensus so that they understand themselves how is really this work supposed to be done, because I feel like in South Sudan there's a lot of misunderstanding that is happening that make these people to clash each and every other time. And also civil society can do advocacy campaign for the passing of the media law, so that when the media law, for example, is passed, and then the journalists and some of these activists, they become protected within that law, and also it will empower the constitution, the transitional constitution, so that some of these things that are already articulated in the constitution, they become practical and they become real.
Right.
So this is something that I believe civil society can be able to do.
Yes, tell me, how did you talk your way out of all this?
Yes, I will share our experience. In 2020, we implemented the project that was funded by Freedom House. And the project is on the restriction of the civic space. I remember when we brought in the participants, including the members from NS and the police, plus the rest. In the first day, we don't talk. We don't trust each other in the hall. The second day,
Why?
We open. They think that maybe we are going to bring, we are going to just criticize the government. And the second day, they were open. And then this gave me a clue that there's a need, the role of civil society, there's a need between the collaboration, there's a need for collaboration between the civil society and authorities, so that they understand our work. We are not advocating for regime change, we are not advocating for anything, we are advocating for things that concern the citizen in this country. I think there's a misunderstanding, civil society, they're doing this and this and this, which is not true. There's a time the government wants civil society to help them, especially when it comes to humanitarian crisis, in the country. They want civil society, because when civil society spoke, they more believe them. Now the issue of having embargo, now the government wants civil society to talk, they want to lift it there, and the issue of having embargo. And the situation of human rights, because I don't know whether you are aware, South Sudan has 250 recommendations from Human Rights Council in Geneva, so it's up to our government to collaborate with us or not, okay? Because we are not advocating for any change. We need the South Sudan where everybody would admire to come in. Yes, there's a rule of law in place. There's a human right, the respect of human right. Like now you go to all detention. If you go to detention centers, you will find people who are there, They never go to court, why they don't go to court cases? Some crimes are minus, others there, These are things need our country to be, our image need to be, to work in other country. I think And also the in those authorities, in authorities, I think there are some people who are a bit open-minded.
Mm.
They do collaboration, they trust civil society, and the other who are not open-minded.
Yeah.
How do we deal with these people? We need them. We need to bring them on board. We need to collaborate, you know.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
As well, if you have any question out there pertaining our topic this morning, which is about the right to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan, please don't hesitate to call us at 0929686297. Now, Fraser, what mechanisms, in your opinion, could be implemented to enhance the right to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan?
Well, when we talk about, freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan, a lot of the part that has really witnessed suppression is when it comes to special assembly in this case. We focused a lot on expression. When it comes to assembly, I remember cases that happened. This one is that you cited in Konyokonyo, but there are so many other cases that happened, especially, you know, I remember when civil servants in Jongle, even the same thing also happened in Warap.
In Lex
when,
too.
Yes, when they were trying to, make some peaceful demonstration or protest so that the issues are also addressed. But we saw that some of these things were really, really suppressed. So I believe South Sudan as a country need to come to a point of understanding that human rights are inherent. It's something that you cannot stop, some of the laws that have been written down beautifully, there should be something that they themselves need to implement, because we understand, yes, the government is trying its best to do to protect the peace here and there, but they need to also be practical in some of the things that they have put forward. Yeah, because the laws of South Sudan, when they are indeed presented to someone who is not a South Sudanese, will say like, wow, this I think is the best country I would want to live in.
Very safe.
Yes, very safe. Mm. Things are so beautiful. But practically, we see something that is different. And so, to me, the government really needs to adopt and admit the fact that civil society is just strengthening them. Civil society is strengthening them and is helping them do also achieve a common goal. So when they come to that understanding and then they coordinate in their work, I believe it is going to be something that is very easy to realize some of these freedoms.
All right, thank you so much. Yes, Ted.
I think one of the mechanisms is our constitution. Our constitution is the first mechanism. We need to implement our constitution chapter by chapter, letter by letter. If we are going to implement our constitution, our country will be beautiful. The second one is the 9th of Parliament, our parliament that make laws, because there are some specialized committees for human rights, in the parliament. These people, they need to empower them, Although we have the challenges in the parliamentarian. Parliamentarian comes, there are some people who do not have capacity, but they don't understand laws, these people need to be and given the capacity. The other one, it is South Sudan Human Rights Commission. South Sudan Human Rights Commission, they do the annual report, they present to Parliament. They collected all the human rights issues in the country, they present to Parliament, and then the Parliament will look at it, and then from there they approve. And then the last one is our police. How many people are trusting our police now in the country? Because our police, even when they arrested you, they look at you as a source of income. Instead, they're supposed to help you. I explained this. I went to, I know what I'm talking about because I see those police stations in the country. Our police should do their work, without peer or paper.
Yeah, right. 16 minutes to the top of the hour. You're listening to Your Rights program. Well, the topic today is about right to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan. And as we conclude, Freza, in the context of the preparations of upcoming elections, why do you think we need to ensure the protection of civic and democratic space?
You know, civic and democratic space, this is a fundamental forum that allows each and everyone to be able to fully express themselves. And like I said, we are in the process that we are approaching elections, but we are still in the process of the permanent constitution making process. And so in order for this constitution, this permanent constitution, to capture the ideas of the people, then this right to expression and assembly becomes something that cannot be avoided. But also at the same time, you know, we are approaching elections in 2024, but there are some people who do not know that we are actually going to have elections in 2024.
Really?
I mean, it might surprise you. Yes,
this is the most popular
in the state.
Really,
in the state, people actually do not know. There are some things that when you ask them certain questions, and you'd be like, something that even happened maybe 2-3 years ago, and it's a popular thing that is known nationwide, and then they'd be like,
we really do not know.
So even this constitution making process, you know, in part of my, because I was personally involved in doing some of these advocacy trainings, and so I'll ask them, do you people know about this thing? They say, we don't know about this thing. So it's a very big challenge, and even now it becomes very hard for them to be able to have the information that will help them to make, you know, informed decisions when it comes to the election. Because this election, we are going to be voting in leaders who are going to be taking us through, you know, transiting us into a complete peaceful South Sudan. And in order for those that are in the state to be able to make informed decisions, then really, it is very, very, very important that forums are created for awareness to be created in at the especially state level, so that these people are also prepared in as much as this at the national level are.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, Ter, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, I, you know, it is very important because if ever it helped the citizen. Let me make citation of 2010 when we have elections. In 2010, other candidates are not allowed to go to other regions. Why? It's because maybe they are peer of unknown, you know, from other person. If 2010 will repeat, I am afraid, even the citizen may not vote, you know. But for us, as a country, to have the election in 2024, where our leaders are not supposed to just talk, you know. They need to work on issues like the permanent constitution, like the population census, the security arrangement, the repatriation of the South Sudan refugees in the neighboring country, you know. And also, there's supposed to be a freedom of no restriction. What happened in WoW? One of the SPLM IO commander arrested the humanitarian worker in WoW. Okay? I just read the news, you know, after the release when they give 250,000. And last week, what happened in IUD? The executive director of IUD was arrested. You know, these are the people who signed the peace agreement. If you don't allow other people to share their opinion, how will the country progress? Because the politics is about ideas, you know. Our leaders, they're supposed to do things, not just talking.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And before I let you go, gentlemen, what would your final remark be? I'll come to you, Freza, first.
Well, thank you very much. I would say that as civil society, we are doing all that it takes to ensure that South Sudan practically becomes the beautiful place that people have always wanted it to be. And basically, when we are doing our work, wherever we are doing it, we are not advocating against maybe the government. We are not, we are not advocating for particular persons to be the ones in, you know, holding certain positions. We are not advocating ourselves to, you know, take our positions, but we are just complementing the work that the government is already doing. And so my humble appeal, especially to the government, is that let's always work hand in hand. And some of these things that some of the laws that they have already passed now, like the Maputo Protocol that has just recently been ratified and also passed by the government, it is something that we need now to practically, you know, implement it, because it's one thing to pass some of these laws, and we have so many of these laws that are existing, and then it is another to also ensure that these laws are followed up and then they are implemented. We need to have civic space. We need to have civic space. I remember there's a point where we were stopped from giving access to youths in a particular location, to youths, like internet access to youth, because they say that they will post things that are political. And so, to me, that kind of censorship is it doesn't really take us anywhere. And so in a critical stage like this, where elections are coming, constitution making process is happening, and a lot of things are happening at the same time, we really need to work hand in hand with the government to ensure that at least this space is created.
All right, Fraser, thank you so much. Yester.
Yeah, as a civil society member of human rights activists, I would like to urge our government, you know, to implement our constitution, and also civil society, they should have that kind of collaboration with the government plus other stakeholders in the country. And this is what will make our country, you know, to move forward, and our country will look beautiful. You know, there's no country built on the intimidation or maybe on the arrest. No, we need to have often country where people with a dialogue, you know, citizens would express themselves on the issues that concerning them, like the issue of the food prices now in the market. The government supposed to allow citizens there to, you know, to express themselves, because this is very serious.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, Ter Manyang, thank you so much for your time, and Jale Fraser Gale, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, and that leaves us, I mean, that wraps up the Your Rights program for this Friday morning. If you would like more, catch us next week on Friday as we do another edition of Your Rights program. Today we have been looking at the rights to freedom of expression and assembly in South Sudan. Thank you so much for your company. I've been with you, Irene Lasu. Well, coming up at the top of the hour will be the news in Arabic. Bye-bye for now.